ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. Two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 160 of the report, and it is Mother's Day. I got the homie Brandon from Where's My 40 Acres on, but we're going to chill out to this boys to me real quick, real quick. Yes, indeed, man. It is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, the real moms out here cooking and shit. You know how motherfuckers like to like put qualifiers on giving people props for the holidays that are designated for them. So yeah, man, we chilling out, man, enjoying this this sunny Mother's Day. Like it felt pretty good here in the D, man. What was going on in DC with you? With you, Brandon?
No, it's pretty much all sun today as well here. It was a nice ass, about 70 degrees. Outside. Day outside. So, and yesterday it was like cold and fucking rainy. So mom's brought the sun out.
Oh man, we've been lucking out here in the D, man. Like at least for the last couple of days, man, it's been sunny and warm. You know, the last couple of weeks has been kind of cool, but I've been enjoying these last few days, man. I actually got a chance to tackle my backyard, bro.
I saw the picture.
Oh
I
man.
Saw
Listen.
Grass was happy, bro.
Let me tell y'all something. Don't, if you're going to do the backyard, if you're going to let your backyard get overgrown, I will advise anybody never to buy an electric lawnmower, a battery powered electric lawnmower. It took me 2 days to cut my goddamn backyard. 5 charges, 11 bags of yard waste to cut this damn backyard, bro. Like, don't ever let your yard get too out of control and you got an electric powered lawnmower, man. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. It's going to take you forever to do it. I spent more time waiting for that battery to charge than I did actually cutting my grass, man.
Nope. See, I saw pictures of your shit and I was like, this is exactly why I don't have a backyard.
Yeah, man. You know what? I was listening to the show, man. You said you just got a new crib, man. Congratulations.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, I had to grow up, man.
Yeah, man.
I had to grow up.
You've been making those trips to Lowe's.
600-square-foot apartment is just not the business, bro. Just
yeah. Not the business. Yeah, man. Like, see, that's the thing, man. Like, I hadn't cut grass. Before I got this place, man, I hadn't cut grass since I was, what, 22 maybe? 22, 23? I'll be 37 this year, bro. Like, it's been a long motherfucking time since the last time I cut some grass, man. But I heard you was talking. You've been taking all them trips to Lowe's, man. Going up there getting random shit,
bruh, man. Fuck what they told you. I was trying to fight that shit too, bro. I was like, look, I don't give a fuck what y'all say. I'm not going to Lowe's.
Yeah,
Brandon ain't taking his ass up in Lowe's, nigga. We ain't getting the house good. We was there like 2 hours. I was like, shit, I gotta go to Lowe's.
Yeah.
I gotta pick up a screw. I need one specific screw.
Uh-huh.
And it's the only time I'm going to Lowe's. And in that first week, I think I went to Lowe's like 7 times.
Mm.
Like, I would come home from work and I would be driving past the street that goes to Lowe's, and yeah, I'd be like, let me just go ahead and take that street because I need to go to Lowe's real quick. I need to go pick up some temporary curtains.
Yeah.
Or I need to pick up, like, you know, when you move into a crib and you got like granite and shit, I got to get some granite sealer.
Yeah.
I got to seal these granite tops for Ashley buy wine, or we decide to cook in this bitch. I got a glass. We got like a glass top stove or whatever. I was like, mm-hmm, I got to figure out how to clean this bitch proper. Let me go ahead and get the kit for that. We got wood. They was like, when they sold us the home, they was like, look, now this is special wood. You can't just clean this wood with regular cleaner and shit. You got to get the name, this white man's name cleaner.
Yeah.
And when you get that, then you can clean it with that. Because if you clean it with anything else and it turns from wood into something else, we don't cover that shit under the warranty. I was like, oh, shit. What is this shit? So yeah, now it's just like, if something break, I just like, I go to Lowe's. Yeah. I take my weekly trip to Lowe's Saturday or whatever.
So you say it's a weekly thing now.
It was. It finally toned down. But it's either because shit is in here that's broke that I don't give a fuck about. Uh-huh. Or I don't need anything at the moment. Like right now, I think what we need the most is fucking blinds.
Okay.
And blinds are a grip. So I'm just like, you know what? We just don't have no blinds.
You got a dog too, don't you?
He just left. She literally just opened the door and walked the fuck out.
I just seen the door open, but I didn't see nobody walk in that motherfucker. Like, hold on, he got a dog or something.
That was her. She just walked the fuck out. She was like, I'm out, nigga.
Now, you got any what you would call it, like homeowners projects on the house that you plan on implementing, man? What you got going on with that?
Oh, all my shit is like nerdy shit, though. I'm just like, yo, we got to get this TV mounted here.
Yeah.
We got to get this TV downstairs. We got to do something with this gaming rig situation and carpet. Like rug, like area rugs.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the dream right there. And if I hit the lottery, I'm buying all area rugs. Is that an 8x10? How much that bitch? 200? I hit the lottery, nigga. I got that. Let me get that area rug. Area rugs expensive as shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I've been trying to do the whole thing with the home automation shit, like the smart home kind of shit. So like,
nah, I'll keep my home dumb.
Well, yeah, you know, like my wife don't like this shit at all, man. She's like, look, man, why can't I just walk in the room and flip the fucking light switch on, bro? Like, why I gotta pull out an app to turn the lights on and off, man? Like, what are you doing? But
man, we in the future.
That's what I said, man. I'm like, I'm cool with telling Google to like turn my lights red, and the shit turned red, bro. This shit is this shit sweet as hell, man. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, especially with the Xbox and shit. I'm like, man, like, we going to automate the fuck out of this crib, man. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. We going to do this.
I think I'm going to do, like, the decor.
Yeah.
And we're thinking about, like, getting really white and just painting walls and shit. You know, that's some white people shit. That's, like, the first thing they do when they move into a new place.
Yeah.
They don't have furniture, but they'll be painting shit. You see it in movies all the time. Motherfuckers be sleeping on cots, but be painting bedrooms and shit.
Yeah, man.
So I'm like, I told her, we got all the furniture. We might want to paint a room or paint a wall or something. Cause at first he was like, we could just hire some of these Spanish dudes out here still building homes. Paint. You know, that come right up in your bitch. Look, you laughing, but they really is Spanish and they really do be fucking painting.
I know,
and they
right? Paint
fast. Fuck. So I'm like, we can slide them like 100, and they might paint the whole room. You know, but I feel like you can make it like a couples thing where we just have one of those moments that you see in the romantic comedies and shit where we paint the wall and then we paint each other and then we get paint on the floor and it's just all beautiful and shit. And then we'd be like, all right, now we got to go to Lowe's and get the floor cleaner because we can't get this special cleaner to clean this paint off the floor.
You got to put them covers down, man. Got to put them covers down. Oh, man. But yeah, man, it's good catching up, man. It's been a while since we did. It's been a while since we talked, bro.
Yeah, man.
But
before, as you would say, yeah, man.
Yeah, man. But before we get into everything else, man, of course, I gotta let everybody know how to get in touch with us here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. You can go ahead and hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages, play them on the show, respond to them on the show. And later on, we'll probably open up those phone lines so you guys can chop it up with both me and Brandon here on the show as well, man. Also, you can hit me up on the email at feedback@thespanreport.com. as feedback at thespanreport.com. Leave those emails and I'll reply to those emails here live on the show as well. Chop it up with me on Twitter and Instagram. Both on both of those platforms, Mr. Underscore Span, man. So go ahead and we could do that there. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything's available there. All the podcasts, videos, voting the polls, leave comments, all of that shit's available at thespanreport.com, man. Real talk. And Brandon, man, go ahead and tell them how to get in touch with you, brother.
Oh, man, you can find me at LOWES.com. You can find me right there. That's where I'm gonna be at. Lowe's.com, nigga. That's where I'm gonna be. No, you can find us. You can find our podcast at where's my 40 acres.com. That's where's my 40 acres.com. We do a weekly show. New episodes drop Thursday and Friday. And if you got a couple changes you can spare, we do a premium show, a set of shows as well, where we talk about like craft beer and shit like that. So
okay, just, man, that's what's up. You know, as a matter of fact, I was getting ready to ask you, one of the first things I wanted to ask you, man, was about the growth of Where's My 40 Acres, man. And I know you guys are like a little bit over 500 episodes in now, and branching out into the like the spinoff shows and having premium content, man. Like, how has that growth, like, you know, how have you kind of navigated that?
I mean, it was all organic. Yeah. It's never planned until we decide we want to do it.
Yeah.
For the most part, I mean, we started doing a podcast in 2010. It was some selfish shit, like as a way for me to just talk to my friends and share. And if people wanted to listen, that was cool.
Yeah.
People started listening. We was like, cool. You know, we got Deidre and we kind of just went from there, and we just are all into hip hop and pop culture, and we smart. Right. So we can have smart conversations. I think the dog just walked back in here because door is open again. I know I just closed that door. I'm looking at the feed right now and I see the door open because I ain't turned around. So I know she don't walk back up in here. She don't give a fuck.
But it
just grew. So, you know, we talked music. We started doing album reviews. We started doing old album reviews because people kept asking us to go back and review classic shit because they wanted to hear our opinion of it.
Yeah.
And finally, we were just like, listen, the amount of people downloading episodes and hitting the site is just, it is breaking my pockets. Like, we got to figure out another way to support this. And we just was like, look, we starting a premium network. The first shows will be Behind the Ratchet, which is all the shit that doesn't make it into the weekly episodes that I be recording. Like when our hosts be talking and they don't know I got the recorder going. And then I play that shit and I turn it into an episode later. And, you know, or and the other one was Craft Beer Killers, which was something Deidre really wanted to do. Like she's a craft beer connoisseur and she really, really wanted to have a podcast for that.
Okay.
So we went ahead and I told her, I said, okay, what format you want to do? How are we gonna do it? And the other ones, you know, like me and Twan and Mike, we watch movies like crazy. So we started a Say Yes to the Death, which is us just watching action films. You know, like the first action film was like Die Hard. Mm-hmm. Or whatever we had, you know, that's like a classic to us. And then Ashley, my fiance, wanted to do a podcast as well. And people kept asking her to do one. You know, you would hear her in the weekly episodes. And then people were like, yo, when is Ashley getting a podcast?
Yeah.
And I'm like, never, nigga, because she don't podcast. But finally, she was like, okay, maybe. And that's where Wife and Material materialized from. Mm. So there you go. You had a whole network ready. We put it up. I was like, if we get 10 people to sign up, cool. That will cover the monthly fees for at least hosting the podcast, right? So y'all paying for other people to be able to download for free. But it kind of just shot off, and we got way more subscribers than I expected. Mm-hmm. So now we're able to do things like, you know, flying people out for the live show, going to cover events in San Diego, and like I'm going to Durham this week to cover a music festival. And the funds ain't paying for all of it, but the funds make it easier on the pockets to do this stuff, which makes us more comfortable to do it.
Yeah.
So, and that's all the people who subscribe to Premium 40 that made that possible. So that wasn't us.
Yeah, man. Like that's one of the things I tell folks all the time, especially when I get asked about podcasting. And I'm getting an echo. Oh, it's gone now. But yeah, when folks ask about podcasting and getting into podcasting, one of the first things I tell them, like, well, start small, because it'll grow. The more you into it, the more the cost will kind of like balloon, so to speak. Like when I first started the Span Report, man, it was me, my laptop, and a headset. And now it's me, a computer, a tablet, a mixer, a mic, a webcam, and all of this. Like, and then on top of it, okay, now the website and the hosting and the RSS feed and all of this shit, man. Like, after a while, like, if you're really into it, it's gonna cost you a little bit of money to maintain it. So it's always a good thing to have some funding behind you to keep the shows growing and whatnot, man. So I'm always proud to see, like, everybody who came up, like, from 2010 and stuff like that, that circle of podcasters that we know, like, to see everybody kind of blowing up in the ways that they are, man. And I'm real proud of you guys over at Where's My 40 Acres for even getting to this point, man. Real talk.
I appreciate it, bro. And the same thing with you sticking around, because that's something that just is difficult for podcasts to do. Everybody want to do a podcast, but everybody don't want to really do a podcast. So it's, if you be able to stick around for a minute, it just shows the dedication. Whether you become like as famous as the Reed or whatever,
yeah,
like, you should first be doing it for you. And that shows in the product that people put out. I mean, we put our stuff on the listeners. We were like, hey, if y'all want us to do these shows, y'all got to put your money where your ears are. Yeah. Like, let us know. And they did. Like, people did. So it was, okay, now we got to do it. Now we got to step up and do what we promised.
Yeah.
And I feel like, for the most part, we do what we can. Like, we've got over 100 premium episodes, which, you know, in a year, if you're saying, if I'm telling you we do two shows every week for Where's My 40 Acres, the freemium shit, just 52 weeks in a year, what's this, like 104 episodes? I'm telling you, premium in 1 year already got 100 episodes.
Yeah.
Like, we're like going above and beyond just because y'all made it possible for us to be able to record these shows and not have to worry about, okay, well, what happens when we put out 7 episodes in 1 week and everybody decides they want to download all 7 episodes? That's going to kill our servers. Yeah. That's going to skyrocket our fucking monthly bill, you know? And, but people paying for it, so we ain't got to worry about it. It's kind of like, the more the better. If I can put out 10 episodes every week for people to download, for everybody to download, I'd do that shit. If I had the time, I would. Because I love podcasting. I would if I could, but I can't.
Yeah, just about everybody I know who's been doing podcasting for, say, for instance, hell, it's been 7 years now for you. You said you got started in 2010, right? So, like,
it's creeping up on 7.
Yeah, it's like 7 years. Like, that's a labor of love, man. Like, folks don't really understand that. Like, To a large degree, most people who are doing this are doing it like in their spare time. You know what I mean? Like, they're doing it because they like doing it. They're doing it because they love doing it, and they're doing it in their spare time, and it costs them money. And so that's just one of those things, man. I really want people to kind of get an understanding. Like, yo, man, folks are doing this for the love, real talk. And, like I said, man, I'm proud of you guys for getting to that point. Now, you mentioned something about, you know, being able to go to certain events. Like, say, for instance, you guys do Comic-Con and stuff like that, like covering Comic-Con. Talk to the listeners a bit about becoming credentialed to do certain events like that.
One, you gotta like legit have a brand to stand on.
Yeah,
you need ground to stand on as far as something that anything you're trying to get credentials to, they feel like giving you credentials is worth it for them, because that's them giving up a ticket.
Yeah,
to whatever you're trying to get into, because credentials are free. I think people were under the misconception that when I say I go into these concerts and I do photography, that I'm paying for a ticket, and that's not the case. I'm not paying them to come work a concert and take photos and then write about it later and talk about it in the podcast. That's them going, hey, you have this many listeners. We like the way your pictures look professional. We'd love to have you come out, take some pictures, and just, you know, do a quick recap of how you felt about the concert in your podcast, write a post about it. Anything to you know, steer your listeners in our artist direction or our events direction.
Yeah.
And it's always like an application process for the bigger things. Like the event we're going to in Durham was a full application process. I got to prove my worth. The same thing with San Diego Comic-Con. I got to prove my worth. Right. I can't just be like, hey, I want to take pictures of famous people. Y'all should just let me. That's just not how it goes.
Right.
Concerts are a little, they're a little more different. They're a little more different. They're a little different. Artists are very dependent on the artist you try. The concerts are very dependent on the artist you're trying to see, their PR people or their publicists, and how much they read their fucking email.
Mm.
And if they even want to give a chance to anybody they don't even know. So I've seen stuff where they'll give press passes to publications that have been around for years, but are pretty much dead in the water as far as hits are concerned. Mm-hmm. But because they know that name, they'll give them a pass versus us. They don't even check our numbers because they ain't never heard of us before.
Right.
So they'll just be like, oh, they're full of shit. Yada, 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 yada. It just depends. And then sometimes you contact an artist and their publicist is bomb. And you send them a nice little structured email, proving your worth in the email with details, letting them know what you can provide, what you're trying to do, what type of coverage you want to do. And then they read the email and they decide if they want to contact you back or not. And when they do, they'll let you know what the deal is. Either they can get you in or they may put you on a waiting list and they'll let you know day of the show. If they do let you in, they got a set of rules. They might have some stuff they want you to promote on the site to get in. They might have some stuff they want you to listen to and give your opinion about. It's a back and forth game. It's a waiting game. It's a strategic game to get in contact with people, because a lot of people's publicists are not, that information is not just flat out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to their websites or whatever and find their publicists. You got to really do your research. You got to Google them. You got to check their Twitters. You got to check their Instagram, their Facebook. You pretty much got to stalk some of these people to find out who their crew is that you would need to contact to get into some of these shows and whatnot. Festivals typically have a press page on their site.
Mm-hmm.
A media credential application that you fill out, but it's different when you're dealing directly with artists and you want to shoot a concert. Travis Scott touring 40 cities does not have a press application on his website for you to fill out for when he comes to your city. Because yeah. they go from city to city to city. They could give a fuck whether they're talking to press or not.
Right.
While they tour. So that's you having to reach out to their managers and their publicists to be like, hey, see you in my city. Want to cover it? What's good?
Right.
It's either yay or nay.
Now, one of the things I noticed that you guys had talked about before, you and Chris from Movie Trailer Reviews, you guys had like a guerrilla tactic that you use going to certain events to
the Phenom method.
What is that, man? Like, what? How did that come about?
Okay. The Phenom method. So I do photography amateurishly. And we've been working these cons, New York Comic Con, San Diego Comic Con,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. Well, at these cons, they give a lot of press passes out. Like a lot. Like yeah. There's a whole fucking press area. It's got like 100 people in it that claim they're press. And 70% of those people are full of shit. They're not pressed. They just wanted to get in free. And so they could tweet their friends and be like, I'm running this bitch free. Oh, I just saw so-and-so. So there's different groups of press.
Okay.
There is press work in the event. And then there's interview room press, where in the back, like you'll see like IGN during some of these festivals, if you look at their site, you'll see that they have interviews with the whole cast of The Flash or the whole cast of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Or whatever your favorite show is. Or they interviewed the cast of the new Spider-Man movie. And you're like, damn, they got all these interviews this weekend. It's because all of those actors and those shows that throughout the cons, they have scheduled interview for different shows. So
okay.
Mr. Robot has a press room. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has a press room.
Mm-hmm.
Even Spider-Man Homecoming has a press room and a press event. Walking Dead has a press room. And they all have publicists and press people that you can reach out to and, hey, want to get into the press room for this show. So-and-so, so-and-so. I say all of that to say that they have some press rooms where they will not let anybody in that they don't know or have not put on their press list.
Okay.
And you start to notice that there is a color barrier to where there are no black people getting into these rooms or people of color. It is the same white publicists from the same publications or the same white press people from the same publications going into these rooms. Chris said a while ago on the show that typically at San Diego Comic-Con, I am the only black photographer on the photo line. Mm. And he's not lying. I am the only black male photographer of like 30 people taking pictures of these superstars on the press line. That's insane to me. So what I started doing was I peeped how they were letting people and guiding people to the press rooms. And I paid attention to what they were paying attention to and what they weren't. So I invented what Chris dubbed the Phenom method, where I waited for certain shit to get called that I wanted to get into. And I just walked in like I belonged there. And I made sure that I had my camera out when I walked in, because, you know, I get the big ass Canon digital SLR camera with the big ass lens. And I always made sure it was my bigger lens, my more professional. I just walked in.
Yeah.
And they don't question it. They'll walk in and they'll start talking to me. They'll be like, hey, so, okay, I see you got your equipment. Okay, cool. You want to set up over here in the corner and take pictures? And it's once you get in the room, they want you to get good pictures. But getting on that list to get in can be a bitch.
Yeah.
And I got tired of us not getting into certain rooms because they didn't know who we were. So when I saw that they were letting people in, shut the fuck up, keep your head down, walk the fuck in. And I just kept doing it. And after from that, I was able to get the contact information for these people that ran these rooms. Now, I don't have to do that shit. But at one point, yeah, I really did have to guerrilla tactic my ass up in there. But now we don't have to do that. We can contact these people directly.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. The Phenom method.
Because I would just walk in and Chris would be like, where the fuck did you go? And he would tweet me. He'd be like, yo. Or he would text me. He'd be like, yo, where are you? And I'd be like, I'm in Fox's Gotham room right now. Don't tell nobody. I'm taking pictures of Jada Pinkett right now. Don't tell nobody.
That's what's up, man. Real talk. Shit. Now, speaking of cons, though, man. NegroCon 2017. How did that come about?
This is funny because me and you had a conversation earlier this week where I was in the car like, come on, man.
Yeah.
What the fuck? All right.
We going to tell that story too, but yeah.
Fucking NegroCon. So 2 years ago, there's a con in DC called AwesomeCon. Mm-hmm. And if you live in DC, you've probably been to AwesomeCon. It's a pretty big deal now. It did not start off as a pretty big deal. It grew very fast.
Yeah.
Because DC people wanted a Comic-Con. 2 years ago, we did a live panel at AwesomeCon for films. And I can't remember if it was just bad horror films or just bad, like it was like classic films that people claim are good that actually are not good. And we went through this whole list and we had this whole discussion about it. And it was four black guys on a panel talking about films at AwesomeCon. And it's not that many black panels at AwesomeCon.
Yeah.
So we were worried. We were like, hey, I don't think our room is going to be very chill. I think it's going to be very light. I think you'll be able to hear a pin drop in it. I don't think it'll be that many people who attends, and that's cool. At least we got a panel at AwesomeCon. Like, they approved us to come out.
Right.
We were wrong as fuck. So many white people showed up to our panel. That's the first thing that blew us. Because when I walked in, I was like, it's white people in here with their kids to listen to four Negroes talk about films.
Yeah.
This is pretty fucking awesome. And at the same time, I'm just now realizing I can't say nigger. At all. Fuck. And and I can't say that.
Yeah.
So we started talking about movies, and it just got, it was so awesome because the crowd was so interactive and they had these questions and they wanted to talk to us and they wanted to hear us talk about more movies and more this. We ended up going like 10 minutes over our time, and AwesomeCon was like, y'all are going over into other people's panel time, but we don't want to stop you because this is just so good. I mean, there was standing room only in this room. And that was dope as fuck. So applied again. Last year, they got a room. I wasn't able to go. I was at Governor's Ball. But Rod from Black Guy Who Tips, he and Karen came through. I think Justin from Three Fifths was up there. Chris was there. I don't remember if Woon and them came through for that one as well. I'm not sure. And it was a couple of other brothers on the panel. I don't want to fuck up and name the wrong people, but it was legit. If you see pictures from it, it looked like it was over 100 black people in this at this panel.
Yeah.
I mean, in all black people. In our first one, it was white, but when niggas found out that we was doing another one, they brought tickets to come to Comic-Con to AwesomeCon just for the panel. They weren't even trying to do AwesomeCon. They paid $40 just to come to our panel.
Yeah.
So this year, no brainer, right? We apply to AwesomeCon. We're like, hey, we trying to come back. We might need a bigger room. What's good? They replied back and went, we don't have any room for you.
Wow.
And we were like, how the fuck does that work? Like, how do you grow? How do you double in size the next year? We had people pay $40 just to come see our panel.
Right.
At your con. And you telling us you don't have room for us? Oh, it's like y'all big like that now.
Right.
Okay. Fuck y'all then. Fine. Chris was like, I think we can do it on our own. I'm going to look into it. He looked into it. He has a premium show. I have a premium show. Rod lives off, makes his living off of it.
Right, right.
So it was kind of like, I think we can all do this. We can find a venue in DC the week of AwesomeCon. And all those black people that's coming through AwesomeCon that was coming for our panel, they can just come straight. They can skip AwesomeCon or they can go. It's up to them. But they can come after that. They can come to NegroCon.
Right, right.
And that's what we did. We had a couple of months to kind of throw everything together as quickly as possible, find a venue, figure out how we're going to sell tickets, what we're going to price it at, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We did it. Chris did most of the heavy lifting. Like he put in a whole hell of a lot of work.
Yeah.
Into setting everything up. Like he beasted that shit. And we were there for support and pom poms and shit. Like, bro, we believe in you. Make this happen for the Negro.
Right.
Cons. And he did it. Put tickets on sale. We were like, here's the price. Boy, I hope we sell some tickets of this shit.
Right.
We ended up selling out in 2 days. So it was only enough space for, it's not a big venue.
Mm-hmm.
But it holds more or equal amount of people as the last the last live show we did at AwesomeCon. Mm-hmm. We made sure of that we'd at least fit a little bit more. And those tickets sold out so fucking fast, man, in 2 days. I still got people asking me, are tickets really sold out? And I'm like, I don't know why y'all think we're lying to y'all. We're not. I have no personal vendetta against you whatsoever. If I could let you in to NegroCon, I would. We don't even have standing room, from what I understand. It's going to be fucking lit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to be in the building.
Like, AwesomeCon had to pay us to come back at this point. They might as well just sponsor us. I mean, because we're not coming back if we ain't making no money from it.
Right. That's more than right.
And I don't want my Negroes giving y'all no money any fucking way.
Well, here's the thing. We were talking about the conversation that we had earlier in the week. While you was in the car. So I'm going to be there, right? Got my ticket to NegroCon and everything else. I bought one. As soon as Chris put them boys up on, I saw it on Facebook. I said, let me go ahead and cop that. But this is after I had already copped AwesomeCon tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, to be honest, like I got a whole lot going on. So as much as attention that I should have been paying to this, I hadn't been. So I bought AwesomeCon tickets. Like VIP joints, like figuring the panel was going to be at AwesomeCon. Had no clue that AwesomeCon wasn't going to have you guys there. right? So I'm still trying to unload the motherfuckers too, man. But yeah. So I bought those tickets.
You brought the VIP tickets too. Ain't that what you told me? You brought the very important.
I did. I was like, yo, man, if I'm gonna be up in this motherfucker, I'm gonna be up in this motherfucker, right?
Oh my God.
So I went on ahead and I bought the VIP joints. And then, like, the NegroCon joint came out, and I bought those. And then, like, I think I asked you, like, I forgot what exactly it was that I asked you, where it came to where the realization hit me, where, like, y'all wasn't doing this, y'all wouldn't fuck with AwesomeCon. And I'm like, wait, what? what's happening here? But, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I had already bought the tickets, got the Airbnb booked up and everything, man. I'm like, yo, man, like, that ain't a thing. Okay. But I'm going to still be there, though. That was my whole point, though. Like, yo, whatever it is, I'm going to still be there because it's going to be a really good opportunity to not only chop it up with you guys, but to, like, to just kind of see all the fans, man, all the people who listen to you guys, including me, to see you guys get up there and do these live shows, man. I think it's going to be a hell of a good time. And I'm sorry to everybody that's going to, like, miss out on that shit.
I'm more like, I just want to be in the building. Like, I understand that we're a part of it and we're just going to be doing a live segment up there as well. And Where's My 40 Acres is, for the first time ever in almost 7 years, is going to be all in the same place at the same time to do a podcast. And it just happens to as well be a live podcast show.
Yeah.
So, like, for us, that's a first. That's a huge first for us. We've never been able to get all four hosts in the same place. Something always happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this year I'm working really fucking hard to make sure that these Negroes book these hotels and get these planes. Book that hotel. You book it. All right, cool. All right. I'm gonna set my alarm for when your flight is. I'm gonna call you, make sure you up. Make sure you getting on the plane now.
Yeah.
Check and see when the plane land. Make sure you get off that plane now. I'm going to be there to pick you up, all right? I'm going to drop you off your hotel. Make sure I know what room and everything you're in. I'm not going to lose you because we need you there. After NegroCon, you can do whatever the fuck you want to. I don't care where you go.
Right.
But NegroCon, you need to be there. So that's huge.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting just to see such a huge variety of blackness in one location for podcasting.
Yeah.
For a medium that we kind of just jumped into and have grown on our own and have created a following of our a following of our own as well. Yeah. We're not big name celebrities. We're not big name radio hosts. We're average Negroes who work and deal with the same day-to-day 9 to 5, children, mortgage bills, payments, stresses that everybody who listens to the show,
shows
listen to. And I think that's what makes this so cool. You're not going to walk up to me at NegroCon and be like, oh, this nigga Phenom is balling. No, sir, I am not balling. I am, as you, living on a budget. This is real. And I just do this podcast stuff. It's my second life. It legit is my second life.
Yeah.
Outside of the one that I got to lead to support myself and have nice things.
Yeah.
Like PS4s and shit. So
welcome to the dark side, baby.
I mean, I should have been came over a long time ago. I've always been a Sith Lord nigga, but I had reasons now. I had reasons.
Well, you sound like me when I bought my Xbox.
You'll never be on that shit though, Span.
I'm on my Xbox more than my PS4 now.
You ain't never playing games on that shit though, Span.
This is true. This is true. I watch a lot of TV.
You on your box because it's connected to your TV.
I watch a lot of TV, man. My Netflix and my Hulu game is strong, man.
So is mine, but I still game. I still got like 7 weeks of my life in Destiny. So,
man, listen. I wish I had more time to get into my games. Because, like, the thing with the gaming is, like, every time I think I got time to do it, I really don't. I got games that I had. Like, I remember, man, I bought, like, Grand Theft Auto 5.
It's so good.
And I may have given it 5 hours tops.
I may have given it 500 hours tops. That's it.
Like, I just, every time I think I can get it, I can't. It's always something for me to do, man. So I'm like, man, I done bought all these games, and at least I always have something to play. I'd be looking at it like that. Like, at least I always have something to play. Like,
but ain't that a lie, though? Because it's always some new shit coming out.
It's always some new shit.
Instead of that old shit.
It's always some new shit. Like, I had this, what was it? I was really deep into my, like, the my career mode in NBA 2K 16? No, 15. I didn't like 16. 16 was trash. But I was really deep into my my career mode. And I wanted to, like, get this motherfucker to, like, I wanted to, like, get him to the point where he can get to the Hall of Fame, retire him and shit. I ain't played that game in 2 years. Like, I haven't played it. Like, I went out and I bought 17 and played around with that for a minute. Ain't played it again.
Well, so the thing with those games is, I feel like Destiny kind of has formatted itself the way I wish these other games that feel like they need to do a yearly release would.
Yeah.
Like the Call of Duties and your Assassin's Creeds, your fucking 2Ks, your Maddens.
Yeah.
Instead of making people rebuy the whole game again. And that's what it is.
It's really the part.
Just wanting to get the full 60 from you again or doing some collector's edition bullshit.
Yeah.
Where you pay $120 for Madden 17 and you got Madden 16. You ain't put enough hours in either, or maybe you did. I don't know. To me, it's a hustle, but I like Destiny's formula of 2 years ago, Destiny came out.
Yeah.
And every time they wanted to bring motherfuckers back to Destiny because they started to see them numbers dropping online, they released another pack to go with it, full of new raids, new missions, new guns. And people was like, man, I ain't coming back to play Destiny. And they'd be like, hey, nigga. But they got that year two icebreaker, bro. You don't want that year two icebreaker? And you be like, I ain't coming. I'm not coming back. What it look like? What, is it nice? Is it beautiful? Does it shine? Do it get you bitches? Okay, I'm coming back. I'll be back just to get the icebreaker. And next thing you know, this shit done looped you back in. I legit left Destiny. I stopped fucking with Destiny like maybe 4 or 5 months ago. And I was like, I'm cool. Like, I was in a better place. The days were brighter. I was doing great at my job. All I heard was happy music in every step I took. And then somebody was like, hey, man, you know they redid all the raids and they put in all new guns and they brought all the old shit back that you got in the vault that you can't use no more. And they refined it and they beautified it and they gave it some extra abilities, man. And I was like, God damn it. They gotta pick up the controller and put life down. And I've been playing Destiny like back at it. But I've been playing the same Destiny since it dropped September 2 years ago. And they're just now doing Destiny 2. And to me, that formula works. That they got me to buy every new pack. I put the $40 up every time. I was satisfied completely by it. And I've enjoyed the experience. I have no interest whatsoever to buy another Call of Duty game. I have no interest whatsoever to buy another Assassin's Creed game. And the only reason I'm excited about Shadows of Mordor, the 2 coming out, because the first one came out 2 years ago. It's been some time. These games need time, but they don't get it. They just keep putting these fuckers out.
They come out every cycle. It's like a cycle. One,
I ain't buying the same game every fucking year, bro, no more. I just ain't got it.
You know, that was another thing too. Like, I had kind of went back and I totally dropped 2017 and started going back to play 2K15. Like, just to complete that shit out. Like, yo, man, I'm not missing nothing. Like, I'm spending money. And then on top of that, like, again, because I don't have the time, right? So I'm spending money on virtual currency too. You know what I'm saying?
That, like, shit, I hate that. I hate when I see that virtual currency shit.
But that's for me, is like, I ain't got time to build this motherfucker up. All, like, you got to go practice and you got to do this. You got to go do all this other. I'm like, man, I don't have time for this shit. So I go ahead and spend the money. I spend like the extra $30 or whatever and get my dude where I need him to be. And then he'll miss a fucking layup or some shit like that. I'm like, really? That's what I pay for? That's what I'm paying my money for?
That's it. Like, that. Yeah. To me, that shit is the cheapest hustle. That, like, buying power-ups and all of that, that sucks for the consumer and the players of the game. For I understand why people do it. Like, I completely understand why you have to do it when they expect you to play for 7 hours to get 2 bumps right. in a stat, you know, or in attributes for your player to make, oh, he can dribble now. Cool. After 7 hours of gaming and 2 seasons in career mode, my nigga can actually put the ball through his legs now. Like, it's bullshit, man. They yeah. need to make better yeah. games. And the other thing is, if they had a structure that worked in 2015, why the fuck did you redo the whole goddamn game in 2016?
Right.
That makes no sense to me. You could have just fixed the things that were broken in a patch or in a DLC and charged people $40 for it, and they would have bought it.
Really?
You already had, because they would have bought it.
You know what the biggest thing with, like, 2K that I wish they would just do and stop fucking around would just allow you to take your player across games. You know what I'm saying? So, like, mm-hmm. if I got my career started in 2015, I shouldn't have to leave that motherfucker in 2015 and start all over again in 2016 as if I had never built this motherfucker up. I should be able to carry his ass along the next series of games. Yeah, I may buy these next series of games, but I should be able to keep my player where he is and all of his stats and everything else. I wouldn't even have a problem with them coming out with a game yearly if they allowed me to do it that way.
You think maybe they're trying to mimic, like, the actual length of a professional athlete's career by doing that? You know, you get like 4 years into your NBA 2K and they're like, hey, man, in the real world, that nigga would be done now. He would have tore his ACL or some shit. He wouldn't be playing no more. So you don't need to bring him on over. You just need to create a new nigga.
Nah, man, it would be much better if they did it that way. So then it'd be more realistic. Like, well, I have been playing with this cat for like 13 2Ks. You know what I'm saying? Like, time for him to hang him up, man. But do his little retirement ceremony and be done with it. You know?
But I feel like I just need to get this nigga a championship ring. I don't want him to go out like AI.
Well, shit, hopefully, if you've been playing for 13 seasons, you done got him at least one.
You hope. But look, hope. How long did AI play?
Hey, well, yeah. That's mm-hmm. true, too. That's true, too, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. We done got off into these video games, man. But let's get into something else, man. Sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
Folks is out here buying sneakers on installment plans, bro.
I seen this shit.
They out here buying them on installment plans, man. So let me read this article, man, for y'all. This shit coming out of the Root.
This shit.
It says, I'm almost to the point where I want to unplug my computer and walk away from everything because now they're offering lease terms and finance rates on sneakers. Annual percentage rates and monthly notes that are usually only rolled out when you're looking to buy a house and a car. You know, big ticket items are now being used to hook those who want to finance a pair of high-priced J's. Something about this feels both ingenious and predatory. Payday J's. Now, one question I have about this, man. You think the big baller brand is going to allow people to buy their shit on the installment plan?
I'm inclined in the direction of an intelligent species. The fuck no, nigga. But we literally just had a conversation on the podcast this week about online rental center,
yeah.
Finger Hut.
Yeah.
Finger Hut ain't nothing but niggas needing credit cards to purchase shit like $32 knife sets, $120 chairs. Like, niggas, motherfuckers be like, hey, man, you need some new silverware? We got this real live stainless steel right here. It be shining, nigga. You can get the whole set for $7.99 a month for 17 months at 25% APR.
Right.
All you got to do is apply. See if everybody credit get approved here. Ain't right. no credit we don't accept.
Right.
You know, so the Jordans being put, $200 Jordans on credit, that just seemed like the next step in the dehumanization of our evolution. That just makes sense to me.
Well, you know what? This isn't the first time I've seen something that is like that they put on installments like this. Like, I remember a couple years ago, there was this one place here. I think it was here in Detroit, man, where they were actually letting people finance their weaves. Like, they were like, yeah, they were financing weaves. I think they had like a commercial and everything for that shit about two
weaves
years ago.
Though.
What's that?
Weaves.
Weaves, oh, trust me. I know. Expensive. Trust me. I know. Well, not personally and shit, but yeah, I know.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do, man. Sometimes hey, man. You feel like you need to just floss and lay it down.
Hey, when the receding hairline started hitting me, I just let it go. It's time to let it go, man.
But I got like a little spot, like right here, and I'm just not giving up on myself.
Listen, man, Now, see, yours ain't as bad as mine was, man. I was starting to get the McDonald's Golden Arches popping off, bro. Once I seen that, it was like, all right, man, it's time to let this go. It's time to let it
go.
But
you, I have... It's entertaining to watch niggas hold on to that line when it starts to kind of turn into like a U and shit. You just like, yeah. Oh, when that shit starts to look like it's pointing in a direction that you don't want to walk. You're like, I don't care, nigga. When your edges is starting to come together and meet in the middle, and niggas don't want to give up, so they just keep having their barber push the line back.
Man, listen, my uncle, he was locked up. He was in prison. And he was losing his shit. And I remember going to see him one time, and he had a toupee on. And I asked him, like, hey, Unc, man, who you trying to look good for, man? Like, just let that go. As a matter of fact, how the hell is that thing even sitting up there?
Where did he get a toupee from is my question in prison.
Listen, I didn't ask him that, but now I'm curious, and I'm going to ask him next time I go home to Chicago. Next time I go home to Chicago, I'm going to ask him, because I didn't ask him that. But I did ask him how that shit was sitting up there, and he told me he was putting honey on the top of his head, and that's how that shit was sitting up there. He was using the honey as an adhesive.
Stick it to his head.
I said, man, when you go out in the yard, do the bees follow your ass around, man? Like, I couldn't believe that that's what that man was in there doing, because he didn't want to face the fact that he was going bald. Now, if you look at him, like, his head is glistening, like, it's shining like a motherfucking cue ball. He good. But he, for the longest time, he would not let that shit go. So, yeah, man. Mm-mm. Gotta let that go. But get back to this article real quick. It said it works like this. Say a shoe costs $300. A kid can pay as little as $26.37 a month to own said shoe. And just like cars and houses, said shoe comes out with an interest rate of about 10%. No word on what happens should the team default on the loan, but this shit is happening and it's real. Now, that's another thing, too, that I kind of want to know. Like, if they do default on the loan, do they have repo men to come out there and come take the shoes back?
What, take your sneakers back?
he catch you outside the movie theater with your girl. Like, hey, bro, you need to come up off them J's, player. You ain't paid them. You ain't paid for them.
Them J's still look fresh enough to resale. Go ahead and take them off.
Take them off, bro.
I mean... Oh my God.
How embarrassing would that be, bro?
Well, okay. All right. So check this out. If you don't, I just got this PS4, right?
Yeah.
I got it on a card.
Yeah.
Because it helps me keep track of all the electronics I've purchased and make sure I'm paying all of them down, right? Instead of having to, because the electronics be expensive, instead of having to just straight drop $700 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And for 2 weeks be like, all right, I dropped $700. My balances is funky. Yeah. Et cetera. And at the same time, not be building my credit up.
Right.
So it's two birds and one stone to do that. If I don't pay on this PS, are they going to come? Is Best Buy going to come up in my crib and take it?
No.
They're not going to come take it.
No.
They're just going to say my credit is going to be fucked. They're going to start sending the debt collectors after me. I'm going to be getting nasty gram phone calls from them. And they just going to keep trying to collect that debt. I honestly don't know what else. Yeah. They would do. They would just tear my credit score up. Like, my credit score would be trash.
Yeah, I still like the idea of like the repo man though, bro. Like, just so they can have a motherfucking reality TV show and I can watch that shit.
Oh, that would be great. Oh my God, because niggas ain't gonna run away in them J's, bro. Niggas, because they gonna be scared. They gonna fuck them shits up.
Nah, man, somebody gonna get hurt. That's what's gonna happen.
Ain't nobody running in no Space Jams.
They not. Trust me, I'm not. I man, listen, them motherfuckers are still in the box with the
bruh.
with the shoehorn shit and the paper and all this shit.
Bugs Bunny on the front with his fingers. Listen, I'm still trying to figure out how I can hang that box on the wall. Because that design that game on that Space Jam box is top notch.
That box is tight.
That shit is fire.
Yes, sir.
Like, you sometimes I pull the box out to put the shoes on. I want to wear the box. I just want to get up with these boxes on my feet.
Hell no,
man. Where you get those Space Jam boxes from, man? Came with the shoes, bro. Shoes back in the crib. I'm just wearing these boxes, though.
Hell no. I got a question for you, man. Do you think you know anybody who would actually use a service like this?
I can't say their name because they family, but yes, I feel like I do know some niggas that would get Jordans on credit. Because they get other shit on credit. Yeah. Then I'd be like, why you do that, though?
Yeah.
So at least Jordan's, that's a style move.
Yeah, man.
You know? At least your feet look fly. on credit fee.
This is true, man. I'm just hoping don't nobody find themselves in trouble getting the J's on credit, man. Real talk,
bro. What happens when you get the J's on credit, though, and you get robbed outside of your car? What happened, yo? You ain't got the shoes, and you gotta continue paying on the every time you make a payment, you gonna be like,
got that single tear rolling down your face, bro.
Like, this is some bullshit. As soon as I finish paying off them J's that got stolen, I can try to get me another payer.
Hey, you think they gonna offer insurance on them bitches,
bro? How do you not? What I don't understand is how they don't have like ascending servicing. Right now, where you like a section of Foot Locker where you can go drop your shoes off, like you paid them a subscription cleaning fee,
yeah,
$9.99 a month. You can come drop your shoes off once a month, kind of like Audible tickets for books, and yeah. You just drop them off and they get cleaned, and you just go pick them up, and you got a subscription to that shit.
Hey man, that's an idea. You might have gave somebody some money.
I mean, it's our New York already got a joint where old boy, you can bring your shoes in. No matter what they look like, and he can make them shits look brand new again or whatever.
Oh yeah, I've been seeing a couple of those videos, man, on YouTube, cats restoring J's and whatnot, man. Like, they'll take a perfectly good shoe and tear that bitch up just for the parts to put your shit back together.
Hey, that shit crazy though, right? Like, I don't even be thinking I need to go that deep. I just looked at him and I was like, yo, what's their brushing technique?
Right.
I'm about to jack. All right, I see how they using the toothbrush. I got it. I don't need him to do it now. I can do it myself.
Yeah. Hell no, nah, man.
Yeah, too many man. Niggas can ride for J's though, bro. I can't buy J's on credit unless they hand delivering it to me. I already had an incident where they delivered my shit to the wrong house, so fuck that.
Well, I say this, man. For me, when it comes to J's, like, I'm just glad somebody told me about that sneakers app.
Oh, the Nike sneakers joint?
Yeah. Because I had no clue. Like, you wasn't gonna find me going to a store, waiting in line for them. I have no, you know, like, no knock to those who do. I'm just not going to do it. So I felt like if that was the only way for me to get J's, and damn it, I just wasn't going to have no J's. And it was always sold out. I'm used to being able to walk, you know, I'm old school. I used to be able to walk into the store and they would be there, pay my $125 and walk out with some J's. It ain't like that no more. So I forget. I think one of the cats at work was telling me about the app, and I'm like, "Wait a minute! They sell this shit in an app now? What? Man, I think I bought maybe 6 or 7 pair since I put that app on my phone."
Oh yeah, no, I ain't bought that many, but the Space Jams came from that. I got the Space Jams because of that app.
Yeah,
I got the Black Panthers because of that app.
Yeah,
and these fucking Flints about to get copped in September. Because of that app. And if the Lord is looking out for a brother, they gonna pop up like a couple weeks early.
Yeah.
In my shit and be like, hey man, you gotta buy these reserved for you till 8 p.m. Thursday. I'm like, Cause that happens all the time now for me. Like, the app will pop up with a message.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, hey man, we got these Jordans reserved till 8 p.m. tonight if you want to go ahead and buy them. And then I check the sneaker sites and these drinks don't drop for like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn. So I wouldn't even have to wait in a queue. That sneakers app is gold. And I feel like the more you buy, the more they be kind of putting shit in your...
They do.
Shit to buy. They do. And that's all I'm waiting for. So I'm wondering if I need to cop a pair in July. Because it is a pair I was looking at. And I'm wondering if I need to cop them. Just so I know them Flints get put up in there.
Yeah, man. Like those... like when you like shit on there, they start putting more and more shit like that on your feed. The shit is damn near like Instagram. Like, they just start putting more and more shit like that on your feed. Like, yeah, you like these? Well, we got some of these, and we got a whole bunch of colorways in this shit, too. You might want to get those, and you might want to get these. Just saying, bro, we putting them right there for you.
They trying to suck you into that. We know you ain't said you want these, but now that we done put them in your face, you want them?
Yeah, like them copper phone pods. I want them, and I missed them. Now, guess what? They got the red ones out. I kind of want them. I'm probably going to miss them.
I mean, it go how it go. Like, the sneakers app literally is a nigga running up in front of you and open his jacket and it's full of sneakers.
Hey, you want some of these?
You want some of these sneakers, nigga? I got the left ones and the right ones. What you want? So, sneakers app is that's plush. That shit is plush.
That's the shit, man. Get the sneakers app. Download it on iTunes and what's that? The Google Play Store. Mm-hmm. Get you some shoes.
Man said, get some shoes. Don't get them stolen though. Make sure FedEx don't deliver them to the wrong house.
Hey, I'll get you some insurance on your shoes,
bro. You know, that's the other thing. You can't even get insurance on these fucking sneakers because they got a limited amount. So if you just get delivered to the wrong crib and shit, that's it. You call up Nike and bitch about it, but Nike will be like, here, we'll refund your money. Here's your $200 back. Have a nice life without them shoes.
Well, if you financing them shoes, bro, I'm just saying, you got to protect your investment, bro.
Bro, them shit get stolen, you still got to pay on them. They gonna have no cash return shit. I guarantee you.
Hey, that's what the big baller brand is. Shit, no returns, no fucking.
For nigga jacking you for your J's.
No returns, no refunds, nigga. You out your bread, flat out.
You're not responsible for you walking around in these J's without a registered weapon.
Well, let's see. Somebody else, man, found themselves putting their mouth on the All Lives Matter shit. Chili from TLC.
Man, fuck her.
Listen, you know what's funny, man? Like I say this all the time now,
fuck
man.
Fuck her and her 40-year-old baby hair.
If conservative media is taking up your plight, you might want to rethink the shit that you saying.
Bro, she want to be Stacey Dash the new so bad.
I don't know. I don't want to put her there just yet.
Bullshit.
Stacey Dash and said a whole lot of fuck shit to earn her spot. I don't want to say that just yet. But let me read this article because I got this one out of the blaze. That's what I'm saying. Like these motherfuckers, if they taking up your plight, then something's wrong. Rosanda Chili Thomas, a member of the all black female hip hop group TLC. Her name is Rosanda. Came under fire on social media when she insisted that all lives matter instead of aligning her views with the Black Lives Matter movement. During a May 9th interview that made waves Wednesday on social media, Thomas faced questions from UK channels 4 News about being a black female in America, as well as her thoughts on the Black Lives Matter movement. Another issue that's been highlighted in both the USA and the UK is the Black Lives Matter movement, reporter Jasmine Dodiwala began. Did you guys feel strongly about it when it was kicking off in America? And did you go to any marches? Did you go to any anti-Trump marches? Thomas answered, I personally didn't go to any marches or anything like that. But for me, all lives matter. You know what I mean? Because there is a time when different groups are targeted for different things. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that just the whole, you know, what happened with the police brutality against the young black boys and stuff like that, all of that kind of stuff is wrong. Even if it was a Caucasian team that it was happening to or whatever, it's just not right. Okay. First question that I would ask for someone like Chili would be, where the fuck have you been for the last 5 years for you to like not understand what BLM even stands for at this particular point in time? Like, I really have very little patience for a lot of folks who act as if they don't know what it means anymore. Like, they never understood what it meant when folks would say Black Lives Matter. And that's one of the the biggest strikes that I would hold against her here now. Another thing too, man, I kind of think like she's trying to, because they got this little album coming out, she's trying not to be political. And she's trying to keep all bases open to where white people can also feel comfortable enough reaching out and buying this album. Maybe she's appealing to them. But I'm wondering who the hell crowdfunded this album for them. Because I believe this album was that crowdfunded joint they went on Kickstarter to get in order to even get started.
We talked about this shit on the podcast.
Yeah.
At the very end, I think we gave it like 2 minutes of fucking attention. Because T-Boz won't know writer. If you watch the video, she came in and started saying some shit too.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't as stupid as what Chili said, but it also was very, I mean, I feel bad for everybody experiencing racism, but I kind of don't care. It was basically like that. It was like, but you know, I don't really think about it. I feel bad for all the shit happening to black folk in the streets and, you know, people dying and all of that, but I don't really think about it.
Yeah,
it was that type of shit. Chili just was running her fucking mouth and had a whole lot of nothing to say for a really long fucking time. That whole, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? No, nigga, I don't know what you or your baby hair is talking about. Like, I don't know what you or your I depend on my skin to survive in this industry ass is talking about. because it definitely ain't your voice, Rosanda or whatever her name is. Like, why say anything? Just say what's happening to people, what's happening to black people is bad. Things need to change. Boom. That's all you had to say. But going that extra fucking mile to step in shit and say, oh, well, you know, I believe all lives matter because different things happen to different people at different times. What kind of stupid fucking answer is that?
It doesn't mean a goddamn thing.
Different people at different times. Nigga, water is wet, the sky is blue, and the earth is green. What the fuck are you trying to, what are you even talking about? You know what I'm saying, what I'm saying, what I'm saying? Nigga.
You're saying nothing.
She sound like a dumb uncle, bro. She sound like an uncle that swear he hotel, he read the front of the book and the back of the book and claim the middle don't matter. Don't know the meat of this shit, but want to run their fucking mouth. Like, don't say nothing if you don't pay attention. Don't say nothing if you ain't got nothing right to say. And don't say nothing if you know what you about to say is some fuckery. Just don't say it. She knew she was spitting some fuckery.
Yeah.
Well, that whole, we want to sell to a white audience. That ain't, she don't think that far ahead, Span.
Probably not.
She don't think that far ahead, because if she thought that far ahead, her and T-Boz would have been all up the Black Lives Matter movement promoting this album. If they really was on it, because it's not white fans that's going to support them. It's black fans. It's older, in their 40s, late 30s and up, black fans that would support this album.
Yeah.
They stupid for not getting behind black women in general. Like, if you're selling a product out here today and you're not supporting, you're not getting behind black women, and you are black women, you are fucking stupid. Black women are the most, like, dedicated to some shit, you know, demographic out here. If you can get black women to invest in you and they believe in you and they ride with you, they will purchase every fucking thing that you put out. It don't matter what you do. It don't matter if it's bad. They will find a way to make it good, and they will stick with your ass till you do something stupid, and then they got to drag you and read you. So that was this whole depending on white people to sell our shit or to get us paid. You can go ahead and do that, and then when they don't want you around no more, they'll get rid of you and you'll be dead in the water, and niggas ain't gonna be picking your ass up.
This is true. This is true.
But T-Boz and Chili should have been behind, should have been with black women from jump as two black women.
Yeah, man.
That whole all lives matter bullshit. Okay. Even Adele won't say no white shit like that. She got one of the whitest voices in the industry, and you ain't heard her say all lives matter yet. She ain't hit an all lives matter note. And never. She make most of her money from white people, and she still don't want to lose her black fans. Like, she wants to be down.
She's smart. I mean, like, you know, that's the thing, man. Like, we've had so many instances where sometimes the best thing to do would be to say nothing, and yet folks don't know that shutting the fuck up is absolutely free. You ain't got to necessarily give them this quick hot take or this sound bite for BLM. Like, I'm pretty sure they probably didn't even have any inkling whatsoever that, like, BLM would even come up. But had to, with BLM even coming up, like, listen, yeah, I really don't want to talk about that. I don't feel like I'm in a position to talk about that right now. I'm here to talk about my album. Hell, even R. Kelly know that shit. I'm here to talk about my album. Can we talk about the album? I mean, I don't know.
I just expect every black woman, black person in the industry right now, when they get asked a question like that by a person that's not of color.
Yeah.
You know, what do you feel about, how do you feel about Black Lives Matter? Which to me is just, it's a simple question. How do you feel about breathing? How do you feel about freedom?
Yeah.
That's what that type of question is to me. How do you feel about your life mattering? Ever heard us to respond with, well, I kind of feel like all lives matter. That wasn't, first of all, that wasn't the fucking question.
Yeah.
Second of all, why won't you just say, yeah, I actually care about being able to live and treat it with respect and equally. I expect every black person, when they get asked a question like that, to hit them with some realness, to be like, hey, you really want me to answer this question? Or you just asking me some old generic shit off your checklist? Because I can turn this whole interview into a fucking black fist in the air for the next 10 minutes if that's really what you're trying to do with that funky ass question.
Yeah.
How do I feel like my life mattering? But instead to be like, well, I feel like kumbaya, kumbaya. Man, get the fuck out of here, old sponsored by jail ass nigga. Ain't nobody got time for this shit, bro.
Going along to get along, man.
Bruh, I know her money light, but my God.
Yeah. We got some more fuckery that's happened over the course of the week, man. JetBlue is out here kicking families off of their airlines, man. So we've got JetBlue, we've got Delta, we've got United. It seems like all of them are like trying to one up each other, and it's like,
hold my drink, bitch.
They just trying to get into it. Like, what it's a race to the fucking bottom. It's a race to the bottom. So
I'm all for it.
Yeah. So we gonna, let me see if I can pull this up. And I got this video of this family as they're being put off of this airplane for cake. They brought a birthday cake on the plane, and they're being put off of the plane because of this. So let me pull this
up. They brought a birthday cake on the plane?
Yeah. Check this out.
No one's in any trouble, all right?
They're recording.
This woman got like her kids with her and everything.
I know, I know. Exactly. For cake? A cake.
We were told that Eric's supposed to recently his action be taken. Right here, I don't see any wrongdoing.
Thank you.
Committed, okay? So
I moved the cake. It's a birthday cake.
You were done. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, sir.
No one's in any trouble. I just need to have your ID. Just for a report.
Sure, no problem.
You know, unfortunately, you know, it got reported to us. No one did anything wrong, okay?
No problem.
All right? Everyone's going to be okay, and they're just going to, unfortunately, you know, they're going to have to rebook everyone, and that's...
Rebook everyone?
And this is what we're trying to avoid that. We wish we...
This is JetBlue?
It's JetBlue, so...
JetBlue. Right? So wow, here you go. All right?
Thank you. No one's in any... No, buddy, you're okay, all right? Don't cry. It's all right.
Thank you, Officer Chen. What was your name, Chen?
Hold on. Everyone stay seated, okay? Everyone just stay seated,
Thank
okay?
you very much.
Everything's gonna be okay.
Don't worry, you'll be all right.
All right. Now, they actually did kick this family off of that plane.
I don't understand what happened. Like, I'm confused.
Okay, so what happened was this. Let me stop sharing. But what happened was this woman was celebrating her 40th birthday, right? They were going to Las Vegas, and she had a birthday cake that she was taking with her, right?
Okay.
They put the birthday cake in the overhead compartment in one of the overhead bins. One of the flight attendants asked them to move the birthday cake somewhere else. So she takes the birthday cake and put it in another overhead compartment. And she's thinking everything is fine till, like, I guess the two flight attendants get together and one of them's acting as if this woman was being belligerent or being unreasonable. So they asked her to take the birthday cake out of the overhead compartment and put it on the floor, store it behind, like up under the seat. So they did that. But by this point, they've already reported this family to the authorities to have them removed from the flight. And that's where the video picks up.
Mm-hmm.
So they got this entire family kicked off of this flight because they were upset with this woman and her birthday cake. That really happened.
Mm-hmm.
JetBlue really did that. Race to the fucking bottom.
Okay. It's not a race to the bottom when you do it to black people. That's the sad part. It's not. They can do that shit they've been treating black people like shit on airplanes. That and the coverage has been getting out for like the last 3 years. Mm. You know, you got black women getting kicked off of planes for what's on their shirt. You got black people getting kicked off of planes for, you know, asking questions about seating and whatnot. You got black people getting kicked off planes now for birthday cakes.
Yeah.
But you don't see white people getting kicked off of planes for going on Trump rants. And you don't see white people getting kicked off of planes for cursing and fussing people out. Mm-hmm. You don't see white people getting kicked. There's a whole Instagram page dedicated to basically white shenanigans on airplanes. That's pretty much what it is. It's ran by the flight attendants of these flights. So it's them taking pictures of passengers doing fuckery on planes. You know, people engaging in like kind of intercourse on planes, people sitting in their seats all funky on planes, people taking their shoes off and shit, clothes off and stuff on planes, and they ain't getting kicked off. But black people, you got a birthday cake, you wearing a shirt that somebody don't like, you too big in a seat or something like that, call it, or you put the fear in somebody just from approaching them to ask them a question on the plane about maybe your seat or about the bin, and you getting kicked off a plane. It just, you see a video like this and it don't make no sense that they calling the cops and doing stuff like this. And there's really nothing that black people can do besides suing the airline.
Yeah.
To combat it. There's no rules in there, and there's just no respect for black people. There's not the amount of respect for black people that there is for white people. That video, that Asian dude getting dragged off of that fucking train, getting dragged off of that plane, is not some shit you'll ever see them doing to a white person. Like, a white person would legit have to be acting a fucking maniac fool to get dragged off a plane, and they would still be wary of dragging a maniac person off the plane. Like, you could have a white person probably stab somebody on a plane and they wouldn't drag them off.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
shit, you know, like that.
I'm wondering too, you know, just like because of what happened with that guy, with that Asian dude on a United flight. I'm wondering now if, you know, because of that incident, you know, getting the publicity that it did, people being more sensitive and more aware of these sorts of incidences, and, you know, going to social media and letting everybody know about it, where this may have been common practice before, but we did, you know, just like with police brutality, it's common practice before, but most people didn't really understand how prevalent it was until they saw it, or until it was put out on social media and we start seeing more and more instances like this happening. And I'm wondering if that's, you know, if this is one of those situations where it's sort of like a, like I said, sort of like with police brutality, we're seeing more of it because people are aware of it now.
I think the technology plays a part into it. I think it's much easier to capture some shit and upload it now.
Yeah.
Like that's just how people function daily. People with Instagram and selfie and Facebook Live and, you know, live tweet or all of that shit. It's regular custom now.
Yeah.
Given how easy it is with a phone in the palm of your hand to do it. So people are capturing it more. What I wish is that motherfuckers would start filming earlier and with the damn phone to the side. Like, that vertical fucking filming,
I hate don't that. Help
you capture shit. You can't see a goddamn thing filming that way. So if some shit do go down, the picture too damn fuzzy and we can't see the shit.
Widescreen, man.
Bro, just turn your phone to the side.
Turn it over.
I don't understand. Like, you trying to capture, you got a cop in the corner, you got a cop right here, you got a family. I ain't see a picture of the cake. I ain't seen nothing. Cause you just holding your shit up so you can talk to her. Hey, I got you, officer. You being filmed. You are being filmed right now.
Officer Chang? Chang? Is that what your name is? Yeah, man.
That talking too much. That talking too much while you're filming a cop. You know, you need to just sit there, put your camera up like this.
There you go. Let me.
I got it on.
Let me start
That's
over
all,
to this.
I got it on.
Let me start over to this this new session, man. Before we get cut off here, let me. I'm gonna hit this new session, and I'm gonna invite you back on screen real quick. Just a second.
Good job.
Do, Whoops.
Fuck face. First, take a big step back and literally fuck your own face!
All right. And I think I might have did that shit wrong. Let me send him a message real quick. I think I might have did that wrong. There we go. Let's get Brandon back over here as we go to part two.
Look, fuck you, fuck the plane you flew in on, fuck them shoes, fuck the socks with the bell on it, fuck your gay ass fairy faggot accent, fuck them cheap ass cigars, fuck your yuck mouth teeth, fuck your hairpiece, fuck your chocolate, fuck Guy Ritchie, fuck Prince William, fuck the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the fuck out my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the shit out of you.
All right. I think we done got lost in the sauce over here on Crowdcast. Hold on. Let me see if I can get... Did he get that message? Dun, dun. Oh, shit. Duh. What's wrong with you, spam? Oh, where did Brandon go? Oh, where can he be? Oh, there we go. Let's see, let's re-invite. All right.
Yeah.
And I'm still getting used to this Crowdcast joint.
Yeah, well, we might need to look into this.
Yeah, Rod kind of put me on with this, man. Cause I was using what was that? I used to do the Facebook Live joint. I was using what's that? Open Broadcast software,
mm-hmm.
And it's cool when it works.
That's not cool.
Yeah, it's cool when it works. Like it allows you to like do a whole lot of like studio like shit. You know what I mean? Like bringing up different screens and whatnot, and it's really cool. But for what I need to do, it was a bit much. And then like with Facebook Live, man, it was kind of iffy. So I stopped using it. And then YouTube, I just got tired of YouTube and their copyright shit, man.
So, I feel you.
So here we are.
I remember you doing that about that.
Here we are. Some other shit, man. It's been going on, man. Donald Trump has been in the news. Well, he's always in the motherfucking news. But like this week has been particularly eventful for Donald Trump, man. This guy fired the this guy fired the FBI director James Comey while he's under investigation for possible collusion with the Russian government, dude. And to make matters worse, he had all his press people going out. He had Kellyanne Conway, he had Sean Spicer, he had Mike Huckabee's daughter, I forget what her name is. He had all these folks going out talking about he did it under the recommendation of the deputy attorney general, only for Donald Trump to come out and do an interview with Lester Holt and say, nah, man, I was going to fire him anyway. I didn't give a damn what they said. So he totally blew out. They cover story as to why he let that dude go. And it's another instance of, one, all of y'all who said that Donald Trump was the lesser of two evils between him and Hillary Clinton, you go suck a fat one. Two, even with all of this going on, I still don't know whether or not this is enough for folks to feel like something significant is going to happen as far as getting him removed. And three, even if he does get removed, we still fucked because we got Mike Pence that'll slide into that presidential spot.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on that, bro?
I got an echo through my side. I feel like white people fucked themselves over and they picked a sherbert ass president to run the country.
He called him sherbert.
They about to suffer for that shit. I just, you know, I don't know what else they expect, and I hope they definitely don't expect some type of understanding or sympathy. It's motherfuckers out here still marching for the Confederate flag.
Oh man,
during these times, they can't pick which shenanigans they want to focus on the most. So right. I'm kind of just out here watching. I have no sympathy, and at the same time, I don't want to put too much energy into feeling like we're fucked when we already being fucked.
Yeah,
that kind of, I think a lot of people spend a lot of energy to, like, they put a lot of their energy into that. They're kind of like, oh man, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming,
and it doesn't come.
You already being fucked. I don't, you know, it's, what else is coming? Wait, the fucking could get worse? Because that's pretty much, I guess, but nigga, it's just so crazy right now. Watching all these news channels and all these updates and these new reports and, oh, he finally about to get impeached. And that's not going to, none of this is going to fix anything, man. The roll down, the shit hill that he sits upon does not get any better with him off the top. You know, I don't want to say he's the least of our worries, but he's definitely a terrible representation of what people can do when they really, really don't understand that they needed to give more of a fuck.
Mm.
So, yeah, I guess, man, like, white people actually put themselves in this position with this president. And it also more makes me feel strongly that everybody don't need to be able to vote. Everybody just does not need to be. People do not pick what's best for them. Okay? They just don't. I'm not saying I believe in a totalitarian government or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. But I really do believe that we need to put some of the smartest minds and the more empathetic minds together to make decisions for dumbass people. Because dumbass masses of people, 53% of white women voted for a dude that claimed, that said, that thought about grabbing white vaginas without permission and used to stalk women in dressing rooms and models and shit when they did his events. And women still voted for him. That is broken understanding. And people who have broken understanding and terrible comprehension should not be voting for the future of my kids, your kids, and this great nation.
Yeah.
According to them.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, man, I was watching this. I saw this little, I don't want to call it, I guess you can call it a documentary. It was Get Me Roger Stone. Mm-hmm. And it was about this guy who was a political, like, operative. I guess you can call him a political operative. And he was like, he came into prominence during the Watergate era for, like, President Nixon. And he was one of the people who, like, they he was basically one of the people most responsible for, like, a lot of the dirty tricks, so to speak, that folks use in politics. So, like, they said one time he had went to a fundraising event for a gubernatorial candidate. I believe it was in New Hampshire. And he said he wanted to donate some money to this gubernatorial campaign. And he came with this jar, you know, with pennies and quarters and nickels and stuff like that. He said, yeah, we want to donate. We from this particular group want to donate to your campaign, and we just need a receipt. And the campaign gave him a receipt, and he took that. And it turns out that the group that he said he was with was some sort of racist radical group. Right. And it totally gutted this guy's campaign. Like, folks found out that he was accepting donations from this group when really it was just this guy showing up saying, yo, I want to give you some money. And it was just pennies and shit, pennies, nickels and quarters and shit. And it snowballed from there. So this guy became a very influential, like, political person, political operative, to the point where now he's actually one of the people responsible for Donald Trump even running for president. He tried to get Donald Trump to run for president back in 88. And, like, it's on Netflix, man. You should probably check it out. But it's one of those things, man, where, like, we have with this presidency where we are constantly bombarded with bullshit information, and we're constantly having to bat down and sift through bullshit in order to get through some sort of semblance of truth. And I think to a certain degree, like, because I covered this shit a lot on my show. Mm-hmm. I'm burned the fuck out, and we're not even 6 months into this shit. Like, I'm to a point where I really don't want to talk about this motherfucker much anymore. Like, but it's so much shit to where it's like, yo, I can't believe this motherfucker just did this shit. I can't believe this motherfucker just did this shit.
But even, like, that reaction, every day, I feel like saying there's just so much shit.
It's so much.
It ain't the shit. There ain't no shit greater than the other shit. And then I feel like if you sifting through shit to find the real shit, are you really finding some real shit? Because they can make up and say whatever the fuck they want. The litigations and the procedures can go however they want. The press can spin shit and release facts however they want. The White House ain't telling the truth never. The politicians ain't telling the truth never. These secret agencies, these government agencies ain't gonna give you the whole truth either. The only time that they want to put information out that's legit is when they're under fire and they need to clear their name. Or they feeling combative and they feel like they want to raid Annapolis. Like, if that's the case, why am I listening to any of these fucking people? I don't trust any of these fucking people at this point. I don't trust information from any of them. CNN has turned to Fox News, has turned to whatever. I'm even weary of trusting information from Vice News at this point. Because it seems opinionated. It not saying that they're not doing good reporting, but it seems kind of opinionated. The only place that, to me, that just comes off as dry, legit news coverage is Al Jazeera. They're the only ones. And I don't want to listen to them because they're boring. So, I had a conversation with a person at work, and I was just like, you know, you walk into the cafeteria area and you try to turn the channel to ESPN or, God forbid, Cartoon Network to get some happiness in your life, you come back in there 5 minutes later and some dickwad then flipped it to Fox News. People want to wallow in misery, right? And they want to feel like they have some sort of understanding of this illogical shit. And there isn't any understanding that you can get from this. It's all bullshit. It's all fluff. It's all bullshit. It's people that are trying to save themselves from the shenanigans that they have been a part of. And the only people that's really suffering from this is the American public, the lower class, poor class American public. Like, these videos that I see of these people flipping out now over their health coverage being taken away. Like, what the fuck were you thinking in November? Yeah. Where the fuck were you then? I have absolutely no sympathy for y'all. Oh, and this whole Trump shit, I have no, like, I don't, it's like, do you want the FBI to fuck Trump in his office? Because that just puts Mike Pence in position. And then who's after him? And then who's after him? Mm-hmm. It just gets worse and worse to the point where if y'all fuck enough people, I feel like Bessie DeVoe could end up becoming president of the fucking United States. It's crazy to me that Donald Trump, he so felt he deserved presidency. That's how his white privilege works.
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh, yeah.
how much of a fucking psychopath he is. He felt that he deserved presidency. Despite having no, you know, claim or stake or proof of it, you know, he just decided that I'm white, I'm rich, I deserve to be president. And white people voted him in. That's some scary shit, Span. That oh, yeah. fuck all the shit that came after it. That is what scares me.
Yeah, I mean
that is
I mean,
the miss shit to me. Like anybody who wants to become power, come into power, can trick dumbass people into voting them into power.
Yeah, and like it's weird. Like I know CNN. I think who's at the New York Times. Like they've done all these profiles on people who voted for Trump, and now are regretting their vote for Trump, as if the information wasn't available to them before they put in that vote for Trump.
Right.
And it's also odd, man. Like I looked at people like Killer Mike and Mark Lamont Hill, and you got these cats who are out here like they forgetting what they said before the election. Like before it was that
fucking,
you know,
Bernie bros and Hillary haters, bro.
Yeah, man. Like they forgetting all that shit about, yeah, you know, I would much rather Trump get in than to have 4 years of Hillary. And you know, we got to get Bernie Sanders in. Who's that? Mark Lamont Hill was a Green Party guy. So I think he was pulling for Jill Stein. But still, she's crazy. She's
wow.
batshit crazy.
Look how
too.
Crazy she is. She's Look how fucking right. crazy Jill Stein is.
She's batshit crazy, too. And like I think her vice presidential candidate called Barack Obama like an Uncle Tom or some shit like that. Like really far out with they bullshit. And then you see them now with all this bullshit going on. And it's, well, look what's going on now, though. Now we got all these allies who are activated and motivated and all this. Like, man, get the fuck out of here.
Allies, motherfucker, because when they needed to be there for people, for poor people, for people of color, for people of different religions, for people of different sexualities and genders and whatnot, like cultures. And when they needed the support, when we needed them to be there for us to prevent this fuckery from going down, mm-hmm. they put that pussy grabbing asshole into the White House. Now that he fucking with they shit, they want us to march with them on Washington.
Right. Right.
No.
Uh-oh. Brent. Uh-oh. Yeah, froze up for a second there, bro.
Oh, no. I'm on my screen. I'm still here.
You going again. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can see you.
Okay, I can't see you, but I can hear you. You had froze.
That shit is fine.
Yeah, you had froze up a bit. Let me see if I can refresh real quick. Maybe it'll come back. Go ahead and refresh.
Mustache looking a little thin right here. It's kind of thin. Yeah, thick over here. But it's thin right here. It's kind of thin.
Hey, man, at least your shit connect, man.
Man, shit. This is an illusion. I shape my shit up illusionary shape up right here.
My wife been getting in my ass, man. She like, why you cut off the sides? Man, I'm like, babe, those sides were an illusion. That shit was not really there.
Right, it's an illusion.
That shit was not really there,
man. Look like it connect. That's what I wanted to look like. It's like Joe Budden beard. It's a lot of paint on his face.
Yeah, man. But yeah, man, we talking about Trump and shit. I mean, at this point, like I said, man, I'm burnt out from talking about that motherfucker. I mean, yeah, it's going to be shit ton of news coming out about him for the duration of his motherfucking time in the White House. I refuse to call him a president. I call him that dude occupying the White House. For the duration of the time that he's occupying that space, it's going to be some bullshit in the game, and it's going to be a whole lot of people who are responsible for putting him there who are going to act like they didn't have anything to do with what the fuck is going on. And
mm-hmm.
that's basically what the fuck it is, man, because you got a whole lot of people who are acting like they don't see anything wrong or they're not complicit in what's been going on.
People.
So, yeah, man. But we are coming up on last bits of the show, and we got our ass hat of the week.
Yo! We got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And our ass hat of the week this week is none other than Bow Wow. Bow Wow. Out here fronting hard, man. Bow Wow got caught out here acting as if he was on a private jet going to, where was he going, New York? I think he said he was going to New York.
He wasn't going nowhere.
He got caught.
He wasn't going nowhere.
He got caught in commercial, in coach.
Dad ain't got nowhere to be.
Somebody snapped a picture of him talking about and straight up put him out like, yo, this nigga is on Instagram right now talking about he's taking a private jet to New York. He is on this plane with my ass. Now, it wouldn't have been so bad. Like, you know, it's bad enough. It ain't no future in your front. It's bad enough that he got caught out here fronting. It's even worse that he doubled down on it. So Bow Wow came out with like, yo, y'all don't know the method to my scientific madness. And this is all about promotion for my show, Growing Up Hip Hop Atlanta. Now, I didn't know that show Growing Up Hip Hop was popular enough for them to get a spinoff.
Wait, there's a Growing Up Hip Hop
show? There's a Growing Up Hip Hop show. And I've
never heard of it.
I believe, wait, no, that's, let's see, who was on that show? A whole bunch of people I never heard of. Whole bunch of people. There's a
Growing
couple.
Growing Up Hip Hop. I've never heard of this.
There's a show called Growing Up Hip Hop. It comes on the Wii Network.
Wii? Does it come on Wii?
Yeah, it comes on
that's
Wii.
That's why I ain't never heard of it.
Yeah, it comes on Wii.
We ain't got no bunch of bullshit ass shows.
And there's another show, I believe, I think they call it The First Family of Hip Hop. And it's like covering like the grandkids from the people who started the Sugar Hill Records. So like they got all these like hip hop like shows coming out. And Bow Wow is supposed to be an executive producer on his Growing Up Hip Hop Atlanta show. But he's claiming that this is all about promotion for his hip hop, his Growing Up Hip Hop Atlanta show. My thing is this, bro.
Growing Up Hip Hop don't even have a Wikipedia page.
They don't?
Not that I can find. I'm looking for it. Because I'm the first 10 results, no Wikipedia page.
Let's see if I can find it. Let's see. Growing Up Hip Hop.
I don't see it, bro. I don't see no Wikipedia page for Growing Up Hip Hop.
I don't see no Wikipedia page. I just get the Wii TV results.
I see an IMDb page.
Yeah.
Wii TV got a Wikipedia page.
Billboard.com's got them. And Parlamag, IMDb. Yeah. But yeah, man.
So we got Jam Master's son, Angela Simmons, Romeo.
Oh, yeah. He was on there. This? Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
I don't know who these other people are. Like, why are these people important? Because they the seeds of artists.
I'm assuming so. Like they grew up and their people were somehow entrenched in the hip hop game, and so these are the kids who are, I guess, trying to come up in that game as well, and you know, take over the business. Like Romeo's been taking over No Limit Records for like how long now?
Romeo ain't taking over shit from No Limit Records. All right, Romeo ain't his daddy when it comes to that business.
Yeah, man. So
the boy ain't taking. Shit, he don't even got the height. He don't even got the family height. He's not taking over that business.
You know, the funny thing about this whole thing with Bow Wow is how quick, like Twitter, man, will get to the bottom of some shit quick, dog. Like niggas found out that the picture that he used to say that he was flying was a stock photo from some what was that? Some like limousine company or some shit like that. Like niggas will go and get to the bottom of some shit quick, like. I think Bomani Jones said this shit. He was like, yo, man, like, if life had a, like, gave them a different turn, they could have been motherfucking detectives on Twitter.
Bruh, what kills me is we can't solve murder cases out here in these streets, but Twitter solves every fucking crime that Twitter comes down my timeline.
Everything, yo. Everything, man. So, like, yeah, man.
The cops ain't, they not using Twitter to its full advantages, my nigga. Like,
you would think.
Just put the information on Twitter, the people you trying to find, they will get found. Them fucking bombers, the I can't remember what marathon, the Boston Marathon. Twitter found them up. Reddit and Twitter found them motherfuckers so fast.
Yeah.
It was like, give us the camera footage. We on it. Hey, bruh.
Yeah, man.
Cops out here still doing paperwork and bringing you in for investigations. And Twitter got 2,000 black people running through the streets of who you know what he did with, find him at. They got all the hookups and the information. They got all the informatives right here on Twitter.
You would think somebody like Bow Wow, who grew up with this shit, would know better, would know how this shit goes down.
Is Shad, bro.
Well, he ain't had no choice in that one. He ain't had no choice.
His name is Shad. I know, but you gotta, the person who named him Shad raised him.
This is true.
That boy ain't got a lick of sense.
Maybe he was a junior or something. Maybe
he was a junior.
But Junior Shad.
Junior Shad. Shad Jr.
Dad Jr. So that accident happened twice.
SJ. No, that doesn't work. No, that doesn't work.
Nope.
No, that doesn't work.
Nope.
All right. But yeah. Bow Wow. Ass had a week here this week on the Span Report.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ.
The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
All right, our champ this week here on the Span Report podcast is none other than the 2017 graduates of Bethune-Cookman College.
Ah, yes.
Oh, man. I am so proud of them as an HBCU smell of sweet young alum. Pride. Oh, man, that was beautiful. Oh, that was beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Militant millennials.
Oh, magnifique. Now,
yes.
For those of you who are unaware, the graduates of 2017 from Bethune-Cookman College had Betsy DeVos as their keynote speaker, whom they did not choose as their keynote speaker. They did not want this woman as their keynote speaker there. The administration decided that they were going to have her there as a keynote speaker anyway. So the graduates decided that they were going to have a peaceful protest, so to speak. Sort of rowdy, sort of loud. And they got their point across. I got the video, so we're going to share this here with you guys. Here, let me pull this up. Screen share. Here we go. Betsy DeVos booed at Bethune-Cookman doing her commencement speech.
Dr. Jackson, Board of Trustees, thank you so very, very much for this great honor and privilege.
Let the booze rain down.
I am honored to become a Wildcat. It's a real honor and privilege to be with you as we celebrate the Bethune-Cookman University class of 2017.
Now, at this point, the graduates have stood up and turned their backs to this woman as she's speaking. Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, this shit is beautiful.
If this behavior continues, your degrees will be mailed to you.
He was gonna mail them anyway, bro.
Threat. That's an old dumb nigga threat right there, boy. if you ain't gonna act right cutting that grass, I'm gonna cut it for you.
The degree.
What kind of threat is that?
He was gonna mail them anyway.
Your degrees get mailed to you anyway. You don't get your degrees. For anybody who is currently in college right now that will be graduating soon or hopes to graduate in the near future or hopes to graduate ever, if you think that at your graduation ceremony when you walk across that stage and you shake their hand with your left and grab your degree with your right, that is your fucking degree, it is not. It is a piece of thin-ass paper wrapped in a nice bow. There is no degree. They mail your degree out to you 6 to 8 weeks later.
Yeah.
So his threat was absolutely 250% non-threatening. That's the best shit he could come up with, was some procedural shit to threaten him with. Boy, if y'all don't learn how to act right, I'm a mail y'all shit to you like we usually do.
Well, you know what's funny though is it was Betsy DeVos. She probably didn't fucking know. You know what I mean? Like, this is the same woman who, and like I said, here in Michigan, man, she's actually one of the reasons why there's a lot of school districts that went under emergency financial management because of some of the systems that Betsy DeVos and her family have like lobbied for here in Michigan. And
with all their money,
that Amway money. So like you had school districts like the Detroit Public Schools and like the Flint Public Schools, like, I believe even Lansing schools maybe went under emergency financial management. because of, you know, because of some of the policies that Betsy DeVos lobbied for in order to try to get school choice implemented here, where we now have a lot of charter schools as opposed to a lot of, you know, like a lot of our public schools are being defunded and practically gutted. It's like every school, every high school, every my middle school, my high school, my elementary school, when I was living here in Detroit as a kid, all of them gone, all of them closed. They're not there anymore. Well, the buildings are there, but they're like dilapidated and like gutted and everything else. All of them gone. So we've seen here in Michigan what the DeVos plan for education is. And now they plan on taking that nationwide with allowing her to become the education secretary of the United States. Now, it's interesting that like after this particular protest, a lot of folks, man, like a lot of conservative people talking about freedom of speech and, you know, they're not being an open dialogue amongst conservatives or with conservatives on college campuses across the country when they have all these protests going on. So like Ann Coulter and Milo Yiannopoulos and like Betsy DeVos, all these people are either being shut down or not allowed to come at all to these colleges to come and speak. And they talk about this being a free speech thing. The only thing free speech guarantees you is not being persecuted by the government. That's it. That's it. So I applaud these students for standing up and saying like, look, we didn't want her here in the first motherfucking place. And did everything in their power to like, yo, let it be known. Like, yo, fuck you and your crew and what you stand for. And that's why they're the champs this week here at the Sparrow Report, man.
Not to mention her speech won't free. They pay her to come there and talk.
Mm.
You imagine that? Like, their tuition money from students who did not want that bitch up in there. Yes, I said bitch. They did not want that bitch up in there. They went to paying for her to come give a speech to them that they did not ask for.
Yeah.
By some old cooning ass Bama nigga who decided that he was going to do what he wanted to do regardless because I don't know why. I don't know why he ruined those kids' graduation like that.
Yeah.
That's and that was his fault. Got up there and gave a if you don't know how to act, we gonna punish you. From these kids are graduating college.
You can't do
how contradictory is this? They are young adults who have made it through college and are being honored with acclamations. And he got up there and scolded them for being the young, intelligent adults that they are. And knowing when y'all was selling them some bullshit and calling it pie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they knew.
Yeah.
And he still tried to hit them with that old Negro walk with your head down, count the rocks home methodology of dealing with white folk. When white folk around, you got to act a certain way. No, we don't. A
whole lot of respectability. And, you know, that's another thing, too. That's another thing, too, man. Like, it's a whole lot of respectability. And like a lot of the administrations of HBCUs, like you think about some of the like the rules, you know, some of the puritanical rules of going to an HBCU, like they're like the visitation rule, like, you know, not there not being any, you know, intermingling with like intersexual like visitation in your dorm rooms. You know, they treat that shit like a fucking like a treat. Like you got to earn that to be able to have somebody of the opposite sex in your room. And you may just be doing fucking homework. Maybe you fucking who the hell knows. But you're grown. You paying money to go to this institution. You know, you got rules like that. Or some of these schools have like their dry campuses. Some of these schools. It was right on the tip of my goddamn tongue. And I just forgot it. It's just gone. It's just gone.
Man said it's just gone.
It's just gone. I forgot what the fuck else I was going to say. But yeah, man, it's a lot of respectability in some of these schools, man. And that was on full display with that threat, that empty ass threat to mail them their degrees that you were going to mail to them anyway. They already graduating. You can't do shit to them. So yeah,
those Negroes get on my nerves. Yeah. You did that whole standing up for white people in the face of your own people.
Yeah. So
like them white people would do the same for you. They wouldn't. Especially not her type.
That one.
Especially not her type.
Especially that one. So Yeah, man, it was these liberal
ones. They'll stand up for you. They'll fight for you, march with you, walk with you, throw the fist up for you, go to a rap concert with you, everything. Not Bessie DeVos. She's from a whole breed of hatred.
Yeah, man.
They could give a damn about black people.
And who's, like, shit, if we're really being real, maybe she paid for that damn spot. Who the fuck knows?
But she might have. Maybe they paid her. And in turn, she also paid some other people.
We never know.
But that's just disrespectful to those kids, to their families. They came out to see them graduate. And any of the faculty and administration that did not support the decision.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, folks are already calling for that dude to resign his position.
Oh, gotta be. It's gotta be students. Like, I'm not, if he's a professor, it's gotta be students. Like, I'm not taking his class next semester.
Yeah. I think that was a university president. So
that's definitely off my list. And even the founder of that school did not stand for shit like that. They had somebody in our group, a quote straight from her. Yeah. Like, yo.
Yeah, man. But, it's getting a little bit late and we gotta get out of here. But before we go, hey, Brandon, man, let everybody know how to get in touch with you over at the Where's My 40 Acres, man.
Yeah, you can go over to where'smy40acres.com, where'smy40acres.com, and you can find us on Facebook. There's a Where's My 40 Acres, .. the Tears of Orphans Facebook group. There's a Where's My 40 Acres Facebook page, or you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter. Just search for Phenom Black, PHENOMBLAK. No C, please. And other than that, man, I appreciate you having me on the show, bro. It's been a minute.
It has been.
We got them guest spots going. We starting them back up again in June.
Okay.
So definitely got you on the list, bro.
Indeed, man. Much appreciated. And of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me, man. Hit me up at Mr. Span on Twitter, Mr_Span on Twitter. Hit me up on the Facebook, man, the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. Go ahead and like that motherfucker. Shit. You got the website, www.thespanreport.com. So go there for all of your Span Report needs, man. That's it. Oh, iTunes reviews, man. Hook your boy up. iTunes reviews, 5 stars, preferably. I'll read those on the show. I don't think I mentioned that earlier today. I'll read those on the show. And so we're going to get out of here. But until next time, fam. Peace.